My name is Mo. I'm here to present you our work, Performance-Oriented Congestion Control. This is a collaborative work with my colleague Qingxi Li, my advisor Brian Godfrey, Doran Zarki, and Michael Shapira from Hebrew University of Jerusalem. So TCP is an ancient topic. TCP was introduced about 30 years ago as a solution to the congestion control problem. As the network evolves, there are many, many different TCP variations get introduced into this field. So it is a very legitimate question to ask that who cannot be happy with TCP? There are so many of them, just choose one to use, right? Well, all these company names that are popping up on my screen now are extremely not happy with TCP. Why do I know that? It's because they are all customers of one or another companies that are providing this kind of high-speed data delivery services. Their unsatisfaction is so real that it is creating a very lucrative market. One company providing this kind of service is anecdotally making $10 to $20 million in revenue in 2013. That is about a $400 million company right there if you consider 20 times PE ratio. Now, we also share with their unsatisfaction with TCP. If you take a step back and look at all these variants of TCPs, the very fact that there are so many of them indicate that each of them is just a point solution. So it improves the performance under certain network scenario, but still breaks in others. And what's worse and even more important here is that even in the network scenario they are specially engineered for, these TCP variants are still always performing far from optimal as we found out in the experiment. So it reaches this very unfortunate conclusion that even with so many years of excellent research porting this field, TCP still fails to achieve consistent high performance in challenging and real network conditions. Why it is so hard? There must be something fundamentally wrong inside of TCP's architecture. So what is that? On the screen now, I listed some example of, On the screen here, I listed some example of TCP's congestion control algorithms. For Reno, we have one packet loss and we'll halve the congestion control window by two. For scalable TCP, if we see an acknowledgement, the congestion control window will just plus one. For Qubic, if time passes 1 millisecond, the congestion control will increase a certain value. So what all these seemingly different congestion control algorithms in common is that they are all hardwired mappings of some packet level event and read control actions. So this is really the TCP's architecture here. No matter what kind of TCP variants you're designing, at the end of the day, you're basically filling in this form. You choose what kind of packet level event you care about and what is the hardware read control action you want to hardware it to. And at runtime, what TCP does is basically table lookup. So it does some action, read control action, send packet to the network and see some packet level event and looks up in the table and finds the next action to do and looks up in the table again, find the next action to do and so on and so on. So there is this hardware mapping between the packet level event and action. Now the interesting question is to ask TCP, why do you hardware some packet level event into certain read control actions? Well, TCP will answer you that, well, because I assume that if I see this particular packet level event, the network must be in certain state and therefore I should take this action to improve my performance. This assumption works well if the real network is indeed the same as the assumed network. However, in many real world cases, the real network condition will actually deviate from the assumed network condition and the corresponding hardware action here is actually a mismatch and therefore the performance will actually degrade. Now let me further illustrate that point with a simple example here. Let's say flow F is sending at rate R and it sees that it is packet loss as a packet level event. Now, under TCP's form filling architecture, what should we hardwire this packet level event to? It really depends on the network condition, right? So if F is causing most of the congestion, it probably should decrease the rate a lot. However, if the packet loss is just because of a shallow buffer overflow, it should probably just decrease the rate a little bit will be fine. And if there are other higher rate flow that is causing most of the congestion, to gain fairness, it should maybe maintain its rate. Now, what if the loss is just a purely random loss to touch the link capacity? It should instead increase its rate to touch the link capacity bound. So it becomes clear that a single packet level event can be a result of different network conditions. And under each of the different network conditions, optimal action can be different. And therefore, it is fundamentally hard to find a event control mapping that is optimal for all network scenario, which is basically what TCP is trying to do here. Now, this is why TCP's architecture is broken. And let's clean slate here and rethinking this very simple question here. What is the right rate to send to achieve consistent high performance? And let's think this problem from a different angle of TCP. Let's don't make any assumption of the network and just treat the network as a black box. What can we do to a black box system? We can do experiment. So we try some rate and we get some outcome. And within a short time scale, we can try many different rates and we get many different outcomes. Now, what is a good rate to sign is basically whatever the whichever the rate that makes the sender happiest. Now, how do we define a rate that makes the sender happiest is by looking at the result of the particular sending rate. So as we send packet to the network with a particular sending rate R, let's say, the network will give us some feedback, basically selective ACK describing which packet gets received, which packet gets lost, and what is the latency across the network. However, different from TCP, we don't trigger any predefined hardware action at this point. We aggregate those packet level events into meaningful performance metrics like throughput, loss rate, and latency. And further, we aggregate those meaningful performance metrics with a utility function, which basically describes the sender's objective of data delivery, the happiness score, if you may say. So for example, I want high throughput and a low loss rate in this particular case. Now, what we get now is a one set of experiment. We know that no matter how complex the network is, if we do something like this, we know when we send rate at rate R1, we will get utility U1. Next thing what we do is just to do like simple science. So we send at rate R1, we get utility U1. We send at rate R2, we get the utility U2. Then which rate is better to send, R1 or R2? We just do simple comparison of utility U1 and utility U2. If utility U1 is larger than utility U2, we'll just move to R1 and vice versa. So this is really the architecture of performance-oriented congestion control, PCC, we are proposing here today. So it is observing the real meaningful performance of its particular sending rate and control its sending rate based on empirical evidence that which rate is really benefiting the utility. And therefore, it can yield consistent high performance because no matter how complex the underlying network is, it can always it is always trying to move towards a direction that actually improves its performance. So let's come back to that example of flow F is sending at rate R, and let's say R is 100 megabit per second. Now, under PCC's architecture, we treat the network as a total black box. So what we will do is we will try a lower rate of 98, and we'll try a higher rate of 102, and we will compare the utility. Now, if the network condition is that this flow is causing most of the congestion, what we'll get as a result of the resulting utility is that sending 102 will have more loss rate and similar throughput, and therefore lower utility, and PCC will decide to decrease the rate to 98. However, if the loss is purely random, sending at 102 will give you higher throughput and similar loss rate, and therefore higher utility, and it will move. It will actually increase the rate to 102. So you can see in this very simple example how PCC is effectively adapting to survive under different network scenarios. Now here is a flash of our performance result, and I will talk about some of them later in the evaluation section. So. What we talked about just now is the architecture of PCC. There is a concrete implementation under that architecture that I don't really have time to talk about here today. If you want, you can refer to the paper. There are many, many implementation detail and design decisions there. So what I want to talk about here now is a little bit more about how PCC makes a decision where to move when it doesn't know where to move. So let's say PCC is standing at rate R and doesn't really know where to move. So what it will do is it will try a lower rate and it will try a higher rate. And at this point, PCC can decide, okay, in this case, I will increase my rate. However, the performance measurement result can be noisy and therefore the decision can be wrong. Therefore, we introduced something called randomized control trials, which basically, whenever PCC is trying to make a decision, we do this two set of A-B testing randomly, and if their result is consistent, we will move towards the decided direction, and if their result is inconsistent, we will increase the guessing gap and guess again. This actually gave us better stability and reactiveness trade-off, but we don't have time to talk about it here now. Now, it seems that we are omitting an elephant in the room here, which is where is congestion control in this whole picture? It seems that what all PCC is doing now is each PCC sender is just trying to selfishly maximizing its own utility. However, fortunately, what this kind of selfish interaction form a non-cooperative game in game theory. Now, the question of whether selfish PCC senders can voluntarily convert to a single stable and fair share point is the same to answer the question, do we convert to a fair Nash equilibrium in this game? Now, whether we convert to a fair Nash equilibrium in this game depends on the utility function of choice. So we found a class of utility function that can all convert to a fair and efficient Nash equilibrium. A very intuitive one is this. So let's say the sender's utility function is throughput minus the sending rate times observed loss rate. Basically, I want high throughput and low loss rate. Now, the problem of this utility function is that, as we found in the theoretical analysis, that as the number of senders increases, the convergence point move towards a point that everyone will suffer from 50% loss rate, and we don't want that. Therefore, we introduce this sigmoid function that here basically cut off the global sending rate by a percentage, in this case 5%, which basically push back the convergence point from the 50% loss to a very low loss rate, and no matter how large the number of sender is. Now, you can kind of see that the PCC's dynamic is totally different from TCP's dynamic here. What is TCP's dynamic here is that it needs this kind of AIMD as a hack to achieve asymptotic fairness. Let's say we have a flow, first flow starts then and touches the link capacity and the second flow joins. What will happen in TCP is that the first flow will half its rate and continue to do this additive increase. The interesting observation here is that the first flow you can see after it does half its rate is actually moving away from the convergence point. And the PCC's dynamic is totally different. PCC doesn't need any AMD because it looks at the real performance. So the same scenario, the first sender comes in, touches the link capacity, and second sender joins. Now, as soon as second sender joins, the convergence point immediately becomes a high ground of utility value. Now, the two senders will be pushed by this game theory force to voluntarily always converging to that high utility point, which is actually the convergence point. Now, we did an experiment to evaluate with a typical dumbbell topology convergence experiment with four flows coming one after another with 500 seconds interval and 2,000 second flow duration each. We set this up on an MLab testbed with 100 megabit per second link and 30 millisecond RTT link. And you can see that TCP's rate is varying very wildly as it achieves the asymptotic fairness, but you can see that PCC's convergence is converging very stably, and there are only some oscillations around the convergence point. Now, to make PCC real, we need to think about how feasible it is to deploy PCC widely. Though as a significant architecture shift, PCC actually doesn't need any hardware support, packet header changes, protocol changes, or any of this. In terms of where to deploy PCC, the very natural place to start is somewhere like CDN backbones, inter-data center networks, or dedicated scientific network, data delivery networks, which where PCC can fully replace TCP or be fully isolated with TCP. Now, what about in the wild? What if I just want to use PCC in the internet today? It really comes down to the question of TCP friendliness, and it is very legitimate to ask, is PCC TCP friendly? Well, we believe this is actually the wrong question to ask, because PCC as an architecture doesn't carry any TCP friendliness property property at all. So the TCP friendliness property is actually embedded in its, again, utility function. So PCC's default utility function is indeed not TCP friendly. However, it's not that bad. So we compare the aggressiveness of a single PCC flow using its default utility function with a number of parallel TCP flows and find that it is similarly aggressive as 13 parallel TCP flow, which is actually used in IE11 as default. Now, if you really want to achieve a single flow fairness, you can choose actually different utility function to achieve that. We have some preliminary result showing that if we introduce latency in the utility function, it can actually be TCP friendly, and in fact, in many cases, dominated by TCP across various different network scenarios. However, that is an important area of future work we need to fully explore. Now, let's come back to where we started and fulfill the promise of a consistent high performance. We implemented the TCP, we implemented the PCC in user space on top of the TCP skeleton of UDT architecture and evaluated it across a large range of network conditions. So we evaluated it in an emulated satellite network condition and shows 17 times higher throughput than TCP high block, which is actually used in satellite network communication today. And we further evaluated its performance under lossy network condition and shows 10 times throughput achievement performance improvement than TCP Illinois. And we also tested it in a shallow buffer network condition where it needs 15 times less buffer than TCP cubic, and which basically can serve a possible solution of a buffer bloat. If you can achieve high performance with small buffer, you can just put a small buffer everywhere without worrying about latency. Now, we also tried the intra-data center scenario under Incast and the rapidly changing network. I will talk about in detail later. And under the scenario of RTT fairness, because PCC really doesn't have this coupling between RTT in its control. It is really controlling based on the real performance. So it can be a cure of the RTT fairness problem. And we also tested the PCC in the wild with inter-data center network condition, inter-data center across Internet 2 backbone network, and with provisioned bandwidth, and it achieved 4 times higher throughput compared to TCP Illinois, and 23% improvement compared to UDT, which is actually widely used in today's scientific data delivery networks. And finally, we throw PCC in the wild in the global commercial internet and tested the performance and shows great gains that we will talk in detail later. So, I will pick some example of those performance evaluations and talk in detail here. So we on EmuLab, we set up an emulated satellite network condition with the real link characteristic from a wind satellite system. So it is a 42 megabit per second link with 800 millisecond RTT and approximately 0.74% packet loss. And the axis here is the buffer size at the bottleneck router. And the Y axis is the throughput it can achieve over 100 seconds of data delivery. Now you can see that even TCP high block, which is actually used in data, satellite data delivery, is still 17 times far away from PCC. Now, another interesting scenario we want to talk about here is a rapidly changing network condition. So we set up a network on EmuLab again with bandwidth, RTT, loss rate, all changing uniformly, randomly distributed across all this listed value here every 5 seconds. And this picture here shows the optimal rate you can achieve, basically the optimal link rate you can achieve. And here I show TCP Illinois and TCP cubic here. The TCP Illinois is the dashed blue line here. You can see that TCP Illinois is in fact doing better than TCP cubic. However, they are all far from optimal. Finally, we bring in PCC, and you can see that you cannot even tell the difference between the red line here and the blue line here, that PCC is always trying to tracking very closely to this kind of a challenging and a changing network condition. So finally, another interesting result we want to talk about is the global commercial internet scenario. So we set up 460 sending receiving pairs across global across planet lab nodes and Gini size. So we send data using TCP for 100 seconds and we stop, and then we send data using PCC for 100 seconds and compare their average throughput. So here is some interesting example here that what's the time you take to deliver 100 gigabyte of data between some interesting site here. So this is the time you need to use to deliver 100 gigabyte of data using PCC, and this is the time you need to use to deliver this amount of data using TCP Cubic, and this is actually the time you need to just take a disk and take a flight out there. So this is the performance. This is the real CDF here. We can see that for 44% of the sending receiving pair, PCC is gaining more than 10 times higher throughput. Now, it is very legitimate question to ask that whether this performance gain is merely due to the fact that we are using default receive function that is not TCP friendly. Therefore, we did another experiment to compare the default receive function also with a more friendly TCP friendly utility function. And we can see there are some result inflation there, but not much. So we further dissected the result and shows that in intercontinental links, the gain is much more than intracontinental gain, which concurs with our assumption that intercontinental link tend to be more complex. Now, there is still this question of whether we are doing every tuning of TCP and trying to help TCP as much as possible. Okay, let's forget about that and look at a totally non-TCP solution here. So we can also compare it again with UDT, which actually shares a large amount of a code base with the prototype implementation of PCC on this scenario with a relatively smaller scale experiment. And it shows 48% improvement in median, and at the same time, 4 times less loss rate, and we can see the behavior is very relatively more stable using PCC. So there is a long list of things we have done but don't have time to talk about. There are more stories of TCP is broken, and there is a full proof of a Nash equilibrium and convergence that is coming out in our archive version, and there is a concrete implementation of PCC, and a long list of performance evaluation we skipped here is actually 11 more. And more importantly here is that we are kind of omitting an architecture benefit here, which is we can use the same RAID control algorithm, and you can plug in different utility function and achieve flexibility that can never be achieved using TCP architecture. So basically you can low latency, or you can choose between latency sensitive and throughput sensitive. There are of course some limitations in the future works. There we need to understand the utility function and the convergence better. We need to design better control algorithm and better scalability of the software. As of now, we have started looking into Quick's architecture and try to see if there is a possibility to push PCC into Quick's extensible congestion control architecture. I would like to thank Ian and Joe from Google for helping us on that. There are some related work I want to talk about, but it seems that the time is constrained. Yes, all right. So in conclusion, we propose a RAID PCC today, which is a RAID control based on empirical observed performance that yields consistent high performance, better stability than TCP, and a flexible performance objective, and it is relatively easy and safe to deploy. So I guess with that, I'm ready to take questions. And the code is published on GitHub. And if you want to see a demo of PCC running live, please find me after the talk.
Howdy, I'm Ari Rabkin from Cloudera. Thank you for the talk. It had a lot in it. Something that I maybe didn't follow or that you didn't get at. If I'm an app designer, I might have some utility on bandwidth. I might have some notion of how much better the user experience is with, you know, one marginal kilobyte per second. What's the relationship between my utility function as an application layer programmer and the utility function that PCC is using to optimize what to send?
I think that is a very good question. And the short answer is we don't have a clear answer for that now. Because the performance utility function PCC is using, as you can see, is basically using this matrix of throughput and loss rate and latency, like directly, some relatively low-level information here. However, the application may care about something different, and how to transfer that through the application layer is something we are looking at now. Thank you.
Hi.
One more question.
From Bucharest. So, I mean, this is really cool work. Obviously, it works really well. The question is why? And I was trying to understand why. So, Did you try schemes like scalable TCP that you know do exponential increase, for instance? Is that the main reason why? I mean, basically, from what I saw, you're basically increasing exponentially the rate. Is that the fundamental reason why you're doing so much better?
No, that's actually not. So PCC is making this decision in using MIMD. However, it is really doesn't really matter that much, like whether we're using AMD or not. So the essential architecture of PCC is that it is comparing two performance here. So this performance is better than that, and therefore I should move towards that rate. So no matter it is using AIMD, MIMD, AIAD, or MIAD, it really doesn't matter because it will always go to the direction that
improves. Yeah, of course it matters because the speed at which you move matters, right? AIMD can't keep up on long fat pipes like you know the satellite link. So.
Yes. I think I can take that offline with a demo. It will be more intuitive. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.